And welcome to the Tales of One Box podcast. This is episode 306. Oh, I need to take a breath because this is a long one. Spotlight on Dynamite Entertainment's Nancy Drew and the Hardy Boys, The Big Lie, number one, circa 2017. Hey, I did it. You know, didn't screw it up. All right, this is Chris Mosby.
This is Caleb Gerard.
And I'm Murray Fox.
All righty.
Murray's in the house.
Whoop, whoop.
Murray, how was your vacation, Murray?
My vacation to the hospital was amazing. So much fun. Go to the hospital if you want to get sick. That's my suggestion.
Well, I think I knew that one already.
Ugh. Yeah, no, my recovery was going really, really, really well for 4 weeks. And then I kind of pushed it a little bit.
Uh-oh.
Just not, you know, like, not. I was just standing for a weekend instead of, like, lying down and standing.
Oh.
And my back seized up. And
yikes.
I couldn't move. And the ambulance took me to the hospital. And I woke up the street with my shouting.
Wow.
And then
were you shouting in pain?
Yeah. Ow. Ow, ow, ow. Ow.
Holy crap, dude.
It hurt. Yeah, they weren't willing to, like, strap me to, like, a spinal board. They made me stand up and walk down the stairs.
Oh,
they were
geez.
Supporting me, and they were very good. They were, like, amazing, and they did the right thing, but, yeah, it hurt. And then I got to the hospital and spent a day or two lying on my back. Again, the hospital, like, the day of the hospital when they finally admitted me, that was another ow, 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 like... Every bump on the stretcher going up to the 8th floor, every turn, and then getting off the stretcher and into my actual bed was like, I think there were like 10 of them surrounding me, just grabbing the blankets and like sliding me over. And my roommates, I don't think, appreciated me that much. However, I quickly learned that my roommates were wackadoos and I didn't care.
Wow.
So, anyway, while I was in hospital, they dealt with the back stuff, and they found lots of infection that was kind of sitting around inside of me. So they sent me down for another surgery and cleaned out a bucket full of pus from my surgical wound. I know, a bucket, like a bucket full.
How?
Mm-mm-mm.
I don't know. I've never heard of anybody.
So you lost weight, is what you're saying.
Well, I lost pus weight. I don't know if I lost
it. It was all water weight.
Wow.
Anyway, I'm back home,
good,
hooked
man.
Up to like antibiotics that pump into me all the time for the next 6 weeks, and I'm getting better
good,
slowly. Mm-hmm.
Are you Netflixing and Amazon Priming all day long?
Yeah, I'm all caught up on House of Cards and Bloodline.
Wow.
And Sense8 and almost through Master of None.
You know,
and I have to work up to do, what's that, Orange? Orange is the New Black. I have to work up to that one. I'm not looking forward to it.
I was going to watch Sense8 until I heard they canceled it.
It's so good.
I might watch it anyway.
Mm-hmm. It's very, very good. I'm bummed that we're not going to get like a conclusion to it, but
yeah,
it's so good.
The one I need to get back into that's on Netflix is this one called Travelers. It's a time travel show, and it was done by the guy that did the Stargate TV shows.
Mm.
It's really good. I just need to finish it.
So Master of None, are you in second season or are you still in first season?
Second season. I tried the first season a long time ago, and I couldn't get past the
acting? No, sorry.
Supporting character. No, like Aziz Ansari was amazing, but his buddy, his big fat
giant?
Bearded. Yeah.
Oh, I've heard about this.
There's like 100% too much of him, and I could not get past it, but once I realized he wasn't in every episode, I got back into it. And it's good. Like, it's a good series, except when he's on. Then it's...
No, I'll tell you, in the second season, there's an episode. It's really early in the second season when he comes in. When
he goes to Italy.
Yes. Yes, that's a great episode when they go to
the Italy episode is good. Yeah. Yeah, that visit could have been much more entertaining.
Oh, you didn't like it? Okay.
Oh, right. No. Mm-mm.
Well, I mean, to each their
no.
own.
No. The giant in shorts. Ugh. And ugh, ugh, ugh. Hopefully that's his only episode this season, and he just kind of pops up here and there. But I kind of like it. I like the show.
Mm-hmm. The Thanksgiving episode is pretty amazing, too. If you like Sense8, you'll like the Thanksgiving episode of Master of None.
So. Alrighty. I will look for it.
I never did fish Iron Fist. I just realized that.
Oh!
Hey, spoilers. He wins.
Oh, yeah. I figured that. I don't get on Netflix very often because usually the three screens that I pay for is already being covered by somebody else.
Yeah. Hmm.
Interesting.
All right.
Yeah, there's all kinds of stuff on here.
So real quick. So the reason I picked this book, I wanted to wait for Murray to be here for this when we go over this Nancy Drew and Hardy Boys, The Big Lie number one, is because I know he's a Riverdale fan and he's a Veronica Mars fan.
Crap, I got
this Riverdale totally too. Has vibes of both of those for sure.
And cool. and the Hardy Boys, the way they redefine them, they're like the Winchester brothers from Supernatural. So it's kind of
it's funny. I wondered about that.
No, it's not supernatural. Don't get me wrong. This is not. There's no ghosts and goblins and demons and crap. But they play them like the Winchester brothers, bantering and stuff.
Okay.
They've redefined Nancy Drew to be very Veronica Mars-ish. Although she doesn't play a huge part in this first issue. Spoilers, 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 spoilers.
Oh, that's fine. I
was looking at the cover, thinking Nancy Drew and the Hardy Boys. So Nancy's showing up in the second arc, I guess, or they're just bouncing back and forth. But
I love this.
It
cover,
all made
though.
Sense by the end.
The first cover.
Yes, it's
really cool.
That they're sitting at the interrogation table and they made her light eyes into the ceiling lights. Yes.
I don't think I ever did read any Nancy Drew or actually Hardy Boys, but I remember that Hardy Boys show that was on when I was a kid. It had, I can't even remember, Leif Garrett and some other guy. My sister loved Leif Garrett. So
Sean
Cassidy.
Parker Stevenson.
That's it. I'm thinking of something else.
You are.
Anyway,
you're thinking of the Chips episode with Leif Garrison.
Okay. Yeah. Anyway, we used to watch that. I remember we used to watch it all the time. I think my dad used to read the Hardy Boys when he was a kid, so that's probably why.
I remember reading them, but I don't remember the stories. But I had a ton of them, and I know I read them, but I was way too young when I read them, so they didn't register. I used them for the longest time. I had like 20 or 30 of the hardcovers, and I would just kind of set them up on the shelf and rearrange them so that they would be like a fort for the action figures, and they would kind of in and out of the maze of stuff. I mean, I read them, but they were more of a prop than a book.
Oh, that's funny. That's all exactly
blue, the blue hardcover books with the yellow.
Some of them were blue, and then I had some really old ones that were like just brown hardcover.
Oh, goodness.
Before the blue.
You know, that's funny. That's exactly what I do with all those hardcover omnibuses I've got. I was just doing that, doing that last night. All right. Good to have you back, Murray.
I've been looking forward to this. Please let me be the...
Yes, yes.
You take it.
Go right ahead.
And feel free to comment whenever the hell you feel like it. So we got three covers in this thing. We got that first one that we talked about a second ago. I don't know who does the second one, but it's really cool with them. It's kind of got a Will Eisner-esque feel to it.
Okay, yeah. And then as you mentioned that's exactly what it feels like. Yeah.
I think that's Emma Vicelli.
Ah, I will say that five times fast. No. and then the third one is Hack. I don't know who Hack is, but certainly not Jock.
No.
Nope.
So, it says Robert Hack. On the inside, that's what it says.
It's got the silhouette of Nancy Drew and then the Hardy Boys looking like they're solving mysteries in cool 80s, 90s, 2000. Nope, they're just current. Look at that. So anyhow, so the whole idea is they've updated the characters to bring them into the 21st century, all the way back from, I don't know, the 50s when they were written, and then of course the 70s when Sean Cassidy and company did their shows.
Mm-hmm.
So welcome to Bayport, a friendly place to live. Frank and Joe Hardy were living a perfect life. Hello. Come on. There we go. With their family in Bayport, a small New England resort town on the Atlantic, until an unexpected death threw their entire existence into turmoil. Now the Hardy Boys are headed down a much darker path, one that will lead them right into the seedy, crooked heart of their hometown, and with a mysterious figure from their past as a guide. These are the teen detectives as you've never seen them before. And this is written by Anthony Del Cole. Art is by Werther Del Edera. I'm sure I mispronounced that, and I apologize. We have color Stefano Simeone.
Holy
letter
crap.
Simon Bolt.
According to Wikipedia, their first appearance was in 1927.
Well, there you go.
But they're in 59, their books were extensively revised, partially to eliminate racial stereotypes. And then there's the rest of it, so. Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm sure that Nancy Drew was right around, it's basically the same storyline, or the same...
I'm going to look that up, too, because I'm interested in how that came out. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, no, it's cool. No. I'm... All right, so first of all, I love what they did in this first page.
I forgot they made it. They did a Nancy Drew movie in 2007.
Mm-hmm. Who was Nancy Drew?
I am looking now. Nancy Drew was Emma
Pamela
Roberts.
Pamela C. Martin.
What?
Emma Roberts.
Yes, Emma Roberts. Oh. That was 11 years ago. Emma Roberts, really?
Who's Emma Roberts?
She's Eric Roberts' daughter. What else has she been
okay.
in? She's That's been in...
She's been on... I think she was in a season of American Horror Story.
She was on Scream Queens.
Yeah.
Yes, American Horror Story.
Oh, yeah, I know who she is. Yeah, of course. I know totally who she is. So, thank you.
Sure.
All right. So, anyway. The first page, they do this kind of looks like a newsprint printing style, which is kind of cool. It looks, you know, like kind of dot matrixy printed out.
Yeah, totally.
Which, of course, it's supposed to be. It's sort of like almost like an old-timey comic book from the 60s, a Silver Age comic.
Yeah.
See, Bayport is a postcard kind of town. Postcards-ish. This is a voiceover in the dialogue boxes here. Postcards that show off all the best parts. This is clearly a New England town. It's kind of Maine. They've got lighthouses and boats, and everything is basically water, is ocean-centric, this whole town. It's like the one in Jaws, kind of, in a way.
Yeah, I see.
The lighthouse, the harbor, the boats that fish for lobsters and tourist dollars. The postcards are invitations, bringing people to the sleepy little town. And living here, I sometimes feel that we were meant to stay frozen in time, forced to stay the same, like the images on the postcards. But there's a lot of the postcards don't show stuff that I'm only finding out. Stuff like, and we switch to a close-up on some murdered guy, blood, like murder. My father, Fenton Hardy, was murdered 1 month ago, March 20th. And they think my brother Joe and I did it off our own dad. I love that man. There's no way in hell I could or would. I got those backwards, but so what? So we see Frank Hardy is sitting there looking petulant, looking at the pictures of his dead father as the cop is presenting the pics to him. And you can see him reflected in the one-way mirror off to the left, which is a nice touch. And Joe must be in the other room. I'm sure they're going heavy on him, hoping he'll break. He's a strong one, but even still. And the cop is talking to him. Joe, you even listening to me? I'm Frank, Chief. Joe's in the other room. Why do you always mix us up? Because the rest of us do out here in the real world. That was a nod to those of us out here who wouldn't know the difference between Joe and Frank Hardy. Because I wouldn't. I don't know which one Sean Cassidy played.
No clue.
All right. So Chief Colleague's a good guy. Well, at least used to be before middle age and the thought of pensions made him lazy. And Frank is saying, you've read too many books or watched too much TV. Huh. This whole macho police thing doesn't work anymore. Probably ended when they started the ban on started to ban smoking inside these rooms. Haven't you heard of the high-value detainee interrogation group approach? It's been proven to work better. Gets more confessions, less antagonism, more friendly banter. I'll get a confession from you that way. No, because I didn't do it. Neither did Joe. But seriously, you're doing this wrong. You cops are morons. If only you... Frank, this isn't some little teen adventure. I don't know why I'm doing that. This is real life. And he smacks Frank upside the head into the table. Crack!
Yeah.
And Frank's thinking, maybe I should have chosen to remain silent. Joe's better at this part. The whole physical force thing. I always knew Fenton Hardy was a crooked cop. And you kids even worse. Everyone thought you were angels. Well, not anymore. Culligan's not the smartest app on the phone, but he's right. We're no angels anymore. Not like we used to be. Flashback. That's the flashback noise. Sorry.
Okay.
All right. So, happy life. They're, you know, friends at school. Everyone likes them. They're hanging out at the beach. They've got girlfriends. There's backyard barbecues at their house. Mixing martinis at the bar on wheels at some restaurant that they work at, and blah blah blah. I guess those were our postcard days, thinking Frank, until come on, zoom, damn you, there we go. Dad was arrested, accused of police corruption, taking bribes from criminals and doing their dirty work from inside. They took him away on Thanksgiving Day. I guess he was the turkey to be served. He was innocent. The charges were trumped up. Mom is crying. The boys are arguing with the cop. Dad's sitting in the cell talking to his boys. But we couldn't prove it. Dad started to get depressed. In a small town, people don't like dirty police. Neither do wives. Mm. Or girlfriends. Or bosses. And over the next few months, even we started to wonder if there was some truth to it all. I think Dad could see our doubt. So basically their lives are falling apart. They're writing words on their garage door. Criminal! Their girlfriends are leaving them. They're getting fired from their jobs. They're arguing with each other. It's all falling apart around them. And there are good ways to celebrate the beginning of spring. This was not one of them. Mom found him dead. Used his own gun to shoot himself in the head. Suicide note left in his typical Garamond font. It said he wanted to stop serving as the embarrassment to the family. Mom hasn't been the same since. None of us have. So Dad took the easy way out. Put a gun in his mouth. Blew his brains out. Family collapse.
They said he was murdered, though. That's why they're talking to him. So it must have been a staged suicide. They must have found some evidence to say that.
Hey.
What?
You're 10 pages ahead. Come on.
No, I'm not. It's just that just they said he was. They're looking at us for the murder, but then now he's laying there like it was suicide. So it's got to be what happened. Anyway, go ahead.
Sorry. You should be a Hardy boy.
You know, totally. It's funny that you say that because that kind of thing there used to be an old family deal that we'd do. We'd watch Murder, She Wrote together, and we have a little competition to see who could guess who did it. And I've always watched shows like that as I was growing up. So, I mean, this is in my wheelhouse, I guess.
Well, we know who didn't do it. It wasn't the old lady.
No, probably not.
Jessica was always solving those crimes, and her friends were always getting killed.
Yeah.
And then we have a voiceover. The cop is talking to him as they're during the flashback. He says, "Tell me about that night, March 20th. You mean the night? Oh, wait a minute. Tell me about that night, March 20th. You mean the night he was found dead? Before or after? Before. Tell me about the party." Yes, Nan and Bert's annual spring fling. I know, right? Those spoiled Bobbsey twins. Any excuse to throw a party. Any excuse for debauchery. But hey, at least their father's not. Though it did feel like Nan and... Oh, no, wait a minute, still him.
Nope, still Frank. But
hey, still Frank. Sorry. But hey, at least their father's not a criminal. Though it did feel like Nan and Bert were auditioning to turn their parents' home into a frat house or some kind of speakeasy.
Everyone saw included the Bobbsey twins. That's awesome.
Now, the Bobbsey twins, they were kind of also like amateur detectives, right?
Yeah, they were younger. There were two sets of twins.
Two sets of twins?
Yep.
So there were four of them?
There were four of them.
I always thought, I always wondered where the Bobbsey twin thing came from.
Yep, same sort of, same style of book. Younger than the Hardy Boys, younger than Nancy Drew. I think their mysteries were a little skewed younger.
But so they were books, more Encyclopedia Brown?
Kind of, man. Yeah. But the books were the same.
I read the crap out of that when I was a kid.
So they were the same format as the Hardy Boys.
Yeah. Ooh, so wow.
That's from 1908, dude. When it started. First 72 books were published in 1904, the last in 1979.
Dynamite got the rights to use his Bobbsey twins and they put him in the same universe with Hardy Boys and Nancy Drew.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Well, they've updated them as well. They're now spoiled brats who own a giant beach house in this little town, Ports, whatever. Mm. Everyone saw you come to the party. Saw me and ignored me. More people, things to do, more people. I don't know. But they also saw you at the end of the night. Would have been hard to miss, says Frank. And people are hanging out, checking their phones, going to Mac in the back room, you know, as they do at high school parties. Mm-hmm. I guess I took the term party crasher too literally.
Why were you fighting?
I've never hit Joe before.
Why were you fighting?
In fact, I've never hit anyone before. Hey, colleague, I just realized you and Joe have something in common. You like to beat the crap out of me.
When provoked, yeah. What did he do to provoke you? Or for you to provoke him?
We had a difference of opinion. And that's when I found out my father was dead. Hit us harder than any punch could. So this whole page is the Hardy Boys having a fight at the party and knocking down pyramids of cups and cans, and they get stopped. Somebody's filming them with their phone, and then somebody tells them, "Hey, your dad's dead." And back to the police station.
That sucks, man.
It does suck.
You're covering something up. Something else happened that night.
I was shunned. I was punched. I found my father dead. It's a typical first day of spring, isn't it?
The thing is, Frank, you went missing for part of that night. Everyone we interviewed that was there said that both of you and your brother were missing for at least an hour. Here's what really happened. You showed up to create an alibi, left with your brother to kill your old man, and then returned, and one of you got nervous, and the other tried to beat out of them. Wrong again, Chief.
Oh, just that like is, you were about my... That's so freaking lame. Come on, man. You can do better than that. Okay, well, sorry. I'll be quiet.
We'll see. No, it's cool. No. This is the whole point of this podcast is opinions.
Okay. All right.
We've all got them.
Okay.
Okay. Wrong again, Chief. Just like you were about my father's alleged criminal ties.
So who was the nervous one? Was it you, your brother? We have him in the other room. If you don't tell us, he will.
Another old school move, Chief. Prisoner's dilemma. Really? Come on. You're offering him the same deal. See if he'll take it, hoping one of us will crack. Again, too many pulpy shows and books, and he gets smacked. In fact, the sound effect is smack.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, this is old school.
Yeah,
this
no
is
kidding.
Yeah. If you don't tell me, your brother will. Where were you for that hour, Frank?
And Frank is getting up because he fell on the floor and he's staring at a reflection in the one-way mirror. And we switch sides of the mirror and we're now looking at the back of Joe's head. Joe's head. Anyway. And we got another cop, and I'm going to use the same cop voice.
Where were you that hour, Joe?
You're asking Frank the exact same questions, right? Using the exact same methods. You'll get the same answers out of me, Detective Peterson. Oh, good one. I can pronounce Peterson. I can pronounce that one.
There you go.
I got my methods, as Peterson is cracking his knuckles. Are you sure you want to do that, Peterson? With me? Don't think so. Smarter than he looks. Thanks, Joe.
Okay. Why don't you tell me again about that night?
That night, thanks, Joe. The night that changed everything. And he's chilling on a couch. Couple's naked next to him. They're at that party at the Bobbsey Twins' house. I just like saying Bobbsey Twins.
I got you, man. It's cool.
So he's thinking, everything around Dad's upcoming trial was hard to process. I wasn't invited. I crashed. World's most boring party crasher. I guess I was just looking for, I don't know, what, something. But something came looking for me that night. Tom Swift, that's also an old same format of stories, right?
I think so.
All right. Chris, Google it.
Taser's actually named after that character. I forget the acronym. Yeah, I think that's in there somewhere. But anyway, let me look it up.
Taser?
Yeah.
As in the thing that you electrocute people with?
Uh-huh.
Oh, anyway. So Tom Swift was our old buddy. He was one of the few that didn't turn on us after Dad's arrest. Tom Swift was 1910, okay.
The first series. 100 volumes. Second went from 1954 to 1971. The third series was 81 to 84. And then there was one from 1991 to 93. And then 2006 to 2007. And here's a film and television. Wow, they made
That's cool. I just... So Tom Swift is, again, the same... They brought Tom into the same universe. He was also the one that was filming them when they were fighting. Tom likes to speak in puzzles. And this night, I couldn't understand a thing. I finally figured out he wanted me to see something in a private room.
What was it? What was in the room?
Okay, yeah, here it is. Sorry, this when I was backing up what I said. The taser, it talks about cultural influence. He was somewhat of a scientist. His fictional inventions have apparently inspired several actual inventions, among them Leif Feinstein's Tom Swift Terminal, which drove the creation of early personal computer known as the Sol, and the taser. The name taser was originally T-S-E-R for Tom Swift Electric Rifle. Invention was named for the central device in the story, Tom Swift and his electric rifle. According to inventor Jack Cover, an A was added because we got tired of answering the phone, Tisser.
And the taser was invented here in Arizona, just for those who were keeping score. Anyhow, so they go into this big library at the Bobbsey Twins' house, and Joe is standing, Frank is standing in front of a fire.
Not what, but who. Frank,
what do you want? Want? You're the one that called me. Why would I want to talk to you, says Joe. After what you said to me, only after you admitted that you think Dad might be guilty. I said I wasn't sure. He's Dad, man. Why wouldn't you believe him? I should have blown off this party. I'm leaving, says Joe.
So did you leave?
No, I stayed because what I heard when I... Because that was when I heard the clock. And I think one of the first Hardy Boys books was The Secret of the Clock,
yeah.
You know what?
Yeah.
Something you'll like here. They apparently, one of the things that were a lot of complaints about the Tom Swift books was, and they even rewrote the first four of the series to take out
as Chris quickly falls down the black hole of the internet.
Yes, but apparently... very racist. People considered them very racist, depicting Africans as brutish, uncivilized animals and the white protagonist as their paternal savior. So at the 100th anniversary in 2010, the first four books were rewritten to take that stuff out. Not entirely removed, most of it.
And ended up being about 2 pages long.
Yeah. And who did they make Tom Swift in this book? A black kid.
Black kid, sure.
I think that's interesting. Anyway, go ahead.
So, okay, so the clock is opening. I've always been fascinated by how clocks work and what's inside them.
And what was inside this one?
A little birdie. And the clock opens, a secret passageway, and the Hardy Boys are joined by somebody who's very lithe looking in a trench coat. Okay, I'll go. It's spring. They're standing in front of a fire in spring. Whatever. It must be cold on the coast. I've never lived on the East Coast, so. Okay, I'll go along.
What did the birdie tell you?
Lots of things about Dad, about us, about you,
about me.
Said you'd be calling me. Okay, now you're yanking my chain.
You're right. There wasn't anyone else, just me and Frank. We talked for a while.
I can't believe I screwed up the voices. Let's back up here.
Okay, now you're yanking my chain.
You're right. There wasn't anyone else, just me and Frank. We talked for a while. And then we had a difference of opinion about a little birdie, and they come crashing out of the library, bump into Tom as they're coming out, who's been surfing the phone. But they weren't in the library alone. He has he lied to Detective Peterson, and now we're back at the police station again.
I don't buy any of it. You were in that room for a full hour playing nice before trying to tear the house apart. Admit it, Joe. You offed your dad because he was ruining your life.
No. You should admit that you have no case against us. First off, there's no evidence from the crime scene, no fingerprints or DNA. Secondly, you need to read through your own evidence. Those affidavits you threw down, take another look through them. Tom Swift has testified that he was outside the room the entire time.
But the secret stairwell behind the...
What? The secret stairwell behind the grandfather clock? It leads to the room next door, which was filled with teenagers partying. Teenagers that hate us? We couldn't have slipped out that way without anyone noticing. If you had anything, you would have charged us by now. You just wanted to rough up the Hardy Boys once again. Get back at us for what you think our father did. So, free to go? And he looks up at Peterson.
Get out of here. Hopefully your brother will learn how to fight so someone will kick your ass.
And the boys meet outside the police station. And they're both, so, gonna see Mom? Nah, probably go for a walk. And they go their separate ways. I don't think things will ever be the same between us, thinks Joe. And somebody's watching them. The two cops are watching them out the windows.
And it doesn't sit right. We don't have anything on them. Can't hold them. I don't get it. Brothers, best friends, inseparable. Now they want to get into the ring and punch each other's brains out. Sammy boy, you're missing the obvious. What did they used to say? It's a dame. It's a girl that's driving them apart. A girl? That's all? Are you saying that they're innocent? Nah, they're bad news, just like their old man, and they're up to something. We just need to figure out what or who the dame is.
And, you know, the two cops are chitty-chatting, screwing around in their office, and we're now in a, looks like a bar. No, it's just a coffee bar, an espresso bar. There we go. And Joe is sitting there. Did you hear? Someone's saying, whispering behind his back. Did you hear? He killed his old man.
Like the Menendez brothers. Menendez brothers? Who are they? They live in Bayport?
It's worse than before. And he gets a text. It says, killer. And he throws down his money on the coffee bar. Word definitely spreads faster these days. Not just kids from school, but everyone, apparently. And Joe gets a text from Birdie that says, meet me in 30 at LS. All right, let's see what Birdie has for us now. And they meet at the Lobster Shack, one of those restaurants that's escaped having to go through major reservations because it's tourist appeal. And, well, lack of funds. And it appears as though the Birdie's been busy. Hey, says Frank, who's waiting for him at the Lobster Shack, LS, Lobster Shack, get it? Whatever. Joe probably figured out he has the only one as well. He was the only one as well. And then their old boss is talking to them. Look who the police dragged out. No one saw you come here? No, says Frank. Good. You got something waiting for you in the back. Thanks, Charlie, says Joe. And Frank walks off. Or Charlie walks off into the back, leading them. I wonder who Charlie is. I wonder if he's a character from the Hardy Boys books.
I think they had a friend named Chet. Oh, yeah, this is Charlie, the owner of the whatever. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if he was a big guy in the books.
Anyhow. So they get led into the back. They go into out the back door. And she predicted what was going to happen, told us what we should do. So, of course, I'm nervous again. See? Nancy Drew. Did you do what I told you to do? Yeah, exactly as you said. They really do suspect us. Good. That's good. Exactly what we need. It's the only way we're going to find out who actually killed your father. Now, let's get started. Boom, Nancy boom. Drew is doing her best Veronica Mars.
Totally.
That's cool.
Yep.
I liked that. That was really good. I enjoyed it. I'm going to read the other two.
Oh, do. Mm-hmm. Do. It is. It's.
For sure.
Quite enjoyable. It's. Took me by surprise. Dynamite slips one by. Dynamite slips one in every once in a while.
Yeah, I don't pay attention to what they do as much as I should because they got the shadow.
I mean, I'm not a big Zorro person or anything, but, you know, always like the Garth Ennis stuff.
Oh well, yeah. Didn't he move the War Stories books over there?
Uh huh. Along with the boys and something else. So he and Alex Ross have kind of made that their place.
Yeah, and they did a lot of public domain superheroes for a while. I don't think they're doing that anymore.
No, they are.
Are they?
Yeah. And they're working on the current Shadow Batman book that's out right now is cross-published with Dynamite. And
it's quite.
I think they're doing a Doc Savage book that's coming out.
Yeah, they got the Spirit in. Well, maybe not the Spirit, but they got that license away from DC after they totally just boarded it up.
Oh yeah, you know what is Spirit? I'm sorry, I said Shadow, but you're right, Spirit. My bad.
I think Spirit's over at IDW actually.
I don't know. Whatever.
Darwin Cook was doing a lot of that. Well, no, he was doing it when DC had it. Never mind.
Yep.
All right.
Murray, was it worth waiting for?
I liked it.
I did too. I really did.
And again, I figured you had mentioned in some time in the past that you liked Riverdale, so I thought this would be a good.
I'm gonna have to. Got all those
and in fact, the writer talks about how he came up with the idea for this before Riverdale was a thing.
Mm-hmm. So that was Riverdale's like?
Sort of. Riverdale's got more soapy stuff in it than this book does.
Soapy stuff.
I mean, it's CW, so you got to expect.
Yeah. They're all teen angsty. That's why it's hard.
Yeah, what this was missing from being a CW show was a soundtrack. If we get
that's true. Some something from
some soundtrack and some skin.
Yeah, there you go.
And some skin. Well, wait an issue or two, we get some skin.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah. That's what I like for my teen dramas.
Alrighty.
Skin.
Yeah, I like that.
Oh, there we go. See, there we go. And on the next page they show. The author reading Secret of the Clock.
Yeah, I was just checking that out. That looks good.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, all right.
Thank you for indulging me. I appreciate
sure.
it.
I didn't
it was
even
great.
See it.
Good choice.
I didn't even see it show up on Comixology. Pardon me. If I'd seen that, that was back in February. Wow. Okay. All right. Well, is that all we cut? Oh, dude, did you guys read that Dark Matter book yet? Or the Dark Universe or whatever the hell it is? The one that Snyder did?
I think. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yep, I did.
Wow. blew me away. Loved it. That would be interesting. It's either Newsarama or CBR is doing a annotated articles on it, explaining all the little things and pinpointing where it came from and everything else. The first one I read was really good. I haven't read the second one yet. I got it saved somewhere. But I'm looking forward to that. So
I'm just looking forward to how they explain Hawkman in the book after what happened in that Death of Hawkman series. But that may or may not ever come up.
Well, actually, they cover it in that article.
In the article, do they? Okay, well, but not in the book.
Yeah, it's not. It's their interpretation. What they said was it's like you're reading a diary of stuff he's already written. So all that stuff they showed could potentially be before he died. That's what they're saying. So
wasn't Death of Hawkman the Thanagarian Hawkman though?
Yes.
Oh, you mean there's two freaking Hawkmans?
I think the Hawkman in this book is the reincarnated Egyptian prince.
They brought that all back. Hawkman. Yeah, they brought that all
back.
It's
not the same. It's not the same.
I don't think it's the same Hawkman. I think it's original Hawkman.
If you read through the book, it seems to me that his latest incarnation was being on Thanagar. But I could be wrong. I'll have to read it again.
Hey, it's convoluted Hawkman.
Yeah, I was hoping. It seemed like to me that they, you know, changed it a little bit enough to cover that, but I could be wrong. What was I gonna say?
I don't know.
I'll find those links and send them to you. It's actually pretty good reading. Somebody did a lot of research.
Too much time on my hands.
Yeah, no kidding.
All right. All right. Well.
Okay.
To all those who are feeling this thing, rip to rest in peace, Adam West. So.
Yes. Yes. What was I going to say? Something else I was going to say. Oh,
also,
apparently.
Also played the great Adam West on Family Guy. So.
Yes. Apparently, they canceled that Powerless show, but apparently there was an unaired episode with Adam West in it, and they're going to air it in honor of his passing. So, I just read that.
Well,
today.
If it's as crappy as the other episodes are, then it's probably not honoring him. So I'm just.
Not to speak ill of the dead, but he wasn't exactly the best actor, anyway.
So. No. But the show kind of sucked. I watched one episode and I was completely and thoroughly disappointed.
I never watched one. I had it recorded and then when they pulled it before it was first season was over, I just deleted it. I didn't even try. So I had high hopes for it, unfortunately.
He deserves a better send off than that show.
Yeah, true, but I'm sure they're just trying to get people to watch, so make a little extra money on the side from advertising. Because that's all about money. All right, well, before I get all cynical here, let's wrap this up. I know. So, as always, you can. Oh, and by the way, it's great to have you back, Murray.
Thank you.
It is.
Glad to have you back.
And recover. Hopefully, all these antibiotics that are pumping into you.
Yes, no more pus. No more
it's
pus.
Getting lower.
Okay, well, that's good.
It's getting lower.
I'm seeping less.
Seeping less. Ew. All right.
Oh, I'm sure Mrs. Fox is very happy about that.
Yeah, I'm sure she is too.
Yeah, she's my nurse.
Oh, that's so sweet. All right. Let's see. I said that. I said the thing. And comment on the actual episodes. That Facebook thingy. Send us an email at podcast@talesfromonebox.com. I know you people are out there because there's downloads being done. So
hundreds.
So yeah, that's about it. That's it for this week. Thanks for joining us.
Alrighty, catch you later.
And we are out.
Hey, happy Father's Day.
Yes,
thank you.
Father's Day.
All right,
have a good one.
All right, you too.
See ya.
See ya.